The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Baba Kama has been generously sponsored in our Daf Yomi program by our good friend and patron and charter member of our Daf Yomi class, Siyahu Ashar HaKohen and his dear wife, Rina. That Be'ezrat Hashem, they will have continued Hatzlacha, Harvaha, Bechol, Ma'aseh, Yedehem, Bri'ut, health, happiness, prosperity, and much nachat from their children. May they enjoy many years of Shalom Bayit, tranquility, and peace of mind. Amen ve'amen. Daf Samech Aleph. Today's daf is being studied in Mishmat Marat Zikinati Yafa Batzara. The Neshvat Avraham ben Esther, Hashem to Nehem ben Eden, Amen. Today's daf is being studied with Rufuah Shel Imam Moshe ben Dina, ben Natan ben Shulamit, Inna Rafan Olam, Rufat HaNefesh, Rufat HaGuf, Rufat HaKarabad Abba, Vechen Yirasov, Venomar, Amen. We begin today's daf on Samech Aleph Amud Lishon, and we're starting from the new Mishnah. Our Mishnah continues to talk about the damages of Ish, that a person lit a fire in his own Rishut, and it spread into somebody else's Rishut, and it caused damage. Avra Gadir. Shehu gavoa arba'a amot o derech harabim o nahar patur. That's the whole Mishnah. In the case of Tumar Ovi, let's say lit a fire, the fire jumped the fence. The fence was 4 amot high. O derech harabim, which means you had, let's say, the Rishut Harabim, which is normally 16 amot wide. That's the normal size of a Rishut, 32 feet wide. So it went across the Rishut Harabim, and then it went into somebody else's domain. Or let's say it passed a Nahar, a river, and then it went to damage. So in all these cases over there, the person that made the fire is indeed Patur, because normally a fire does not pass through these areas and continue. Therefore, there was no way he should have anticipated when he made a fire in his own domain that it's going to pass the Shut Rabim or a Nahar or jump the fence of 4 Amot. Therefore, it's considered honest, and therefore he's not going to be Hayav. That's the end of the Mishnah. Look at Rashi, Derech Harabim, Yaz Amot. Yav Amot. That's 16 Amot, like we said. Ma'agalot, Degnei Midbar, Yalfin, Masechet Shabbat. The Rishut Rabim is learned from the Midbar. If you look at the way the Jewish people travel in the Midbar, with the wagons that carry the Kedashim for the Mishkan, if you measure from wheel to wheel, going across, it was 16 Amot. That teaches us the Shi'ur of the Rishut Rabim, which was the Midbar, where the Jewish people travel. So that's how we know a regular Rishut Rabim is 16 Amot. Now the Gemara begins. Ve'atanya, we learned in a Braita. Avra Gadir Shu Gavuar Ba'amot Hayav. Oh, if it jumped the fence, that was 4 Amot high. You're Hayav. That's a Stira against our Mishnah. Amar Papa. Tanadidan Karashiv Milma'ala Lemata. Shesh amot patur, hamesh amot patur, arba amot patur. Tanabaram lemata lemala kahashim. Shte amot hayab, shalosh amot hayab, ad arba amot hayab. So he comes along and he answers the setira, which means our Tana is calculating milmala lemata, going from high. Up, Milemala Lemata, Shesh Amot, 6 Amot, Patur, 5 Amot, Patur, Dalit Amot, Patur, the Svira Le, Ad Ve'ad Bechlal. That when it says 4, it means including 4. 6 Amot, that is very high, Patur, 5 Amot, Patur, 4 Amot, also Patur, even 4 Amot, because it says Ad Ve'ad Bechlal. The Tana Barra, the Tana of the Braita, as she says, Kashiv Milemata Lemala, he's going from down to up, Shte Amot, Hayab, shalosh amot hayab, v'dalir amot patur de svira le'ad ve'lo ad bechlal, because he holds up into and not including. So therefore, v'chulan shavin v'dalir amot de patur. Everybody agrees that 4 amot is patur le'tana didan ad ve'ad bechlal, which means it's inclusive. V'tana bara ad ve'lo ad bechlal. It depends where you're going from. If you're going from to high to low, so therefore it's inclusive. 6 is patur, 5 is patur, 4 also is patur, because it's ad v'ad beklal. If you're going up, 1 amma hayav, 2 amma hayav, 3 amma hayav, up to 4 amot you're going to be hayav, not inclusive.
Right.
Okay, and therefore 4 amot is going to be patur. So the Braita was talking non-including 4. When it says 4 amot, it meant up to 4, not including 4. Therefore, it's 3. 3.5, 3.9, but 4 indeed we presume they're saying the same thing. It's just, are they holding ad ve'ad bichlal or ad ve'lo ad bichlal? Again, 6, 5, 4 inclusive for patur, or 2, 3, 4 not inclusive. Comes the Gemara and continues, Amar Abba, Arba Amot She'amru de patur afilu b'sdeh Chotzim, the 4 amot that we said is even talking about a field that's over the fence is thorns. That she said, "Afilu aita sadesh shekofes el shema ul me'ali gadir me'leak chotzim shenoach ha'esh lebe'ed bavledalek patur." Normally, the flames are attracted towards the stake chotzim because it's very flammable. They're dry. So therefore, the hadush, even if the item that's over the fence is a very flammable item like a stake chotzim, doesn't matter. Still, there is going to be a patur. Amar papa umisefat chotzim ulmala arba amot. Even though from the top of the top of the thorns until the fence, to the top of the fence, has to be 4 amot. Right, so you have to measure from the thorns, the top of the thorns,
of your neighbors,
to the neighbors, to the top of the fence that's by your field. There has to be a 4 amot difference between that. Okay, that's the deen over there. Otherwise, it's too close. Which means we just said the gedr has to be 4 amot. Now we're adding. It's got to be a little higher than that. It has to be 4 amot high from the top of the thorns that are on the other side. Now the Gemara makes another restriction. That which we said that the Baal HaEshes Patur is talking about a fire that's kolachat. It's a fire that goes up. A fire that's going shooting up. Then already you have the 4 amot rule. Aval b'nichfefet, if the wind is blowing where the fire goes on an angle, there's no shi'ud. Even me'a'ama, you're going to be ayav, because the wind causes the fire to go on an angle, and therefore it can even scale the highest wall. So it depends what type of fire. Look at Rashi. Right? El lo sharu de patur, look at Rashi. Ela bekolachat. Es shekoleyach mitamer ve'ole lema'ala. It's shooting up. Aval nichfefet, sharuach mate ota vechofel etzadim. The wind causes it to go to the sides. Umafsik hashalebet vedoleket. Good. Vedoleket. It skips. It jumps. Causes it to jump. Lashon mori. Shnachar. In nichfefet esh temucha oleket venesleket ba'asabim o bekazim shagabe karka. Elkik afilu avra derech eshut rabim nacham meod hayab. The second shot is, it's going on the ground. If it's a wind, so it causes the fire to go low. So therefore, even if there's 16 amot of the shoot terabim in the middle, you'll be hayab, because it goes across. The wind causes it to run across. So either we're learning about a fire that is going sideways. So the sideway fire, it doesn't matter, you'll be hayab in all these cases. Mashe'enken, a fire that's shooting up. And also, the second shot is, that we said the shoot terabim in the middle is patur. That's what we're talking about, a regular fire that's going up. Mashiach, a fire that's crawling fire, because the wind is causing it, so therefore it's normal for it to go even across 16 amot to go to the next guy's field. The guy is going to be.
It says it's getting like herbage and.
Yeah, because that's right, it gets more fuel. It's eating up the stuff on the ground. That's what she says.
Regular wind that's causing it to go
sideways. Correct, regular wind. She says, it gets fueled by the grass and the twigs that are on the ground. Therefore, it's going to be hayav. Ushmuel amar matnitin benichfefet. Oh, he says, no. Adraba. Our Mishnah is talking about the case was nichfefet. The fire is being blown by the winds, bent fire. Abab de kolachat afilu kolchu patur. Why is Mekel? He says, on a kolachat that goes up, even if you have a little fence, nothing, patur, because it shouldn't go across. If the fire is going up, you don't need anything. Even a kosher is going to be. He looks at it the other way. He's Mekel, Shmuel. Right? Which means, nechfefet, you have the shi'urim of our Mishnah. Kolachat, you don't need any shi'ur. Because since it's going up, you patur automatically. Tanya kevatet derav. We have a braita to support Rav. When do we say our Mishnah that if he had derech lishut to Rabbim, that you're going to be patur bekol achat? Vabenechfefet. Ve'etzim mitzuyim la, and there was wood on the floor. Afilu ad me'a mil hayav. Even if the reshut Rabbim is 100 mil, you're going to be hayav. Why? Because like we learned, the wind caused the fire to scale the ground, or to go across the ground. The ground has this herbage on it, like you said, and the wood, it's going to fuel it. Therefore, you're going to be, that's a braita that supports, lav that nechfefet, is hayav avra nahar o shilulit. Say the fire past the river or shilulit is like a puddle. Would you say? Okay, well, I will explain. Shem rechavim shimona amot, patu, so long as the, now we're giving the shoot of the river. The river to be patu, it has to be 8 amot, then it's going to be patur, even on a nechfefet. Because I guess 8 amot is already big enough, you don't have to assume that the fire is going to go across. Comes Gemara and says, Derech Harabim. So what do we say if they have a shoot to Rabbim that's 16 amot in between the guy's field and where it damages, he's going to be patur. Man, Tana Amar Rabbim. Rabbi Eliezer, the Tana Rabbi Eliezer, omes 16 amot kederech reshut Rabbim. Which means, when it says Reshut Rabbim, it means the regular Reshut Rabbim that we know from Shabbat, which is 16 Amot. Why? If the Reshut Rabbim is that, like of Shabbat, indeed you're going to be Patur. Comes the Gemara and says, O Nahar, Rav Amar Nahar Mamash, Ushmuel Amar Arita Didillae. What does that mean? A trough? And she says, Aritad Yeor Katan, a small Yeor, like a stream, Shidolim Memenu Mashkim, so that irrigation ditch. Which means one rabbi says it's gotta be Masha, a river, Nahar. Someone says, no. Aritad Lay, a stream that's used for drawing for irrigation, that's right enough to poter the guy from Diniske Ish. Comes Gibran says, now that's less than 8 amot. The river, we says 8 amot, is amma by amma. It's amma deep, and amma wide. So the hadush is over there. It's enough already to be put there. Comes goes, man dama nahar mamash, afal gav deleka maya. Oh, according to the opinion, it's a nahar mamash, even if there's no water in it. Since the mere size of it would put there. Well, man dama arita didlay, which is smaller, eat be maya in, only if there's water in it. Yes, yavalet be maya. No, because this is a small, it only can be patur if you actually had water in the irrigation system. That she says, why? Since the nahar is wide, it's considered like the derech of the rabim itself. Okay, now the Gemara is just going to explain what this din of shilulit is that we discussed above. Not only a river, but who adin a shilulit. Okay, so the Gemara continues over here. We're learning from the Mishnah. We said that if you have a nahar separating between the field where you made the fire and where the fire went, so you're going to be patur. So we saw Braita. So the Braita said, Avra nahar o shilulit. So the Gemara says, now is going to teach us the din of a shilulit. We have to see what it is. Tananatam, we learned over there in the Mishnah in Pe'ah. Ve'elu mafsikim the Pe'ah. The following items are considered a hefsek for pe'ah, meaning you have to leave the corners of your field to the aniyim. Now let's say you have an item that separates your field, so now you have to leave a corner of that part, because it separated the field into two. So these are the items that separate a field into two that you would have to leave pe'ah on both sides. A nahal. Nahal is a river. Vashlulit. Okay, we'll have to see what shlulit is again. Nashi, not yet. V'derech hayahid. Okay, a private road. They call that derech yachid. They're saying that's 4 amot wide. V'derech harabim. Okay, derech harabim already we know is the shut harabim, which we said is shish isle amma, is 16 amot. Okay? So Gemara says, my shilulit. Oh, that's our question. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, makom shemek yishamim shulilim sham. It's a place where rainwater gathers. It's like a puddle where the rainwater gathers. Damara mekubatzle, she says, it gathers. Rabbi Baya Amar Rav Yehuda Amar tamayim shemechaleket shalal agapea. It's a furrow of water, a matamim, or a stream of water that delivers its goods to its sides, which means it irrigates the fields to the right and to the left of it. So it sounds like this is bigger than a puddle.
It's machlok with a shlit is. The first she does, it's a puddle where the water gathers. Second she does, no, it's like a stream that overflows to the agapet, to the right and left sides of it. If that opinion is going to say that even a puddle where the water gathers is able to separate a field, all the more so a regular stream. Why? Because those are considered agne or bagne. It's considered like the ditches of the earth, which means that's not really considered a hefsek. I guess in every field you have, not every field is straight. You have like ditches and furrows, things like that. So that's just called it's not a straight, but a ditch of a field. But it's not considered a hefsek. But amatamayim would be considered a hefsek. Okay. Now we continue the next mishnah. Madlik mitoch shelo. So what did a guy do? A guy lit a fire, mitoch shelo, in his own property. Ad kama ta'avor hadeleka, which means how much does the deleka have to cross in order for him to be patur? Which means, I guess if I'm lighting in my field over here, so how far does it have to travel in my field that if it's going to go to somebody else's field, I'm going to be patur? I guess, how much do you have to anticipate a fire is going to travel to be hayav? Which means, I guess, when a person lights a fire, he's got to anticipate you have a neighbor. So you got to assume, hey, this fire can go next door. So maybe, how far is the distance that you don't have to worry that your fire is going to go from one place to another, and if it still went past that distance, then you can be patur. Okay, they're going to be patur. Okay? Because it's an onus. Okay? So that's the Mishnah's question. So again, you always have to assume, hey, if I'm a light right at the border, it's going to jump right over and go to the next guy's field. But let's say I gave it a certain distance, it should be patur. What's the shi'ud? So it says, ro'in oto ki'ilu hu be'emsa betkur. So we look as if he's in the middle of a betkur. Now she says, "Im yesh lo chatzi betkur lecho ruach patur." Good. So long as he has a half a betkur, we look at it as if he's in the middle of a betkur. So therefore, if he has half a betkur on either side, that's already sure. Ubekolachat shedilga uchdeokimna. And again, in a case where we're talking about where the fire was kolachat, the fire was going up. Aval nechfefet, but if the wind was blowing it, bo'eret ve'olechet kol sha'a afilu ad me'a mil hayav. Right, so again, we're going to get the rules like we learned in the Amud Rishon. But only on a kolacha, but even a kolacha, the flame that's going up, if it's within a bit kud of the neighbor's field, you got to be oshet that it's going to somehow travel, but nechfefet, there's no shiur. Okay, so let's read again. But nech betok shuat kamat avol delekar bilyazun azalei omer ro'im oto ki'ilu hu be'emsa bet kud. So emsa bet kud means so hefa kud. Right, that's the shiur. Just to get the betkur is 270 amma by 270 amma, so half a betkur would be 137 amma. So that's the shiur that you have to have between the where you lit it and where the next guy's field is. Ezra man, 16 amot kederek l'shut rabim. Wow, much less. He says already 16 amot. Okay, right. So if he's more mekel. The first rabbi says you have to go 137 amma. He says no, so long as you went 16 amma away, you're okay. Rabbi Akiva omer 50 amma, somewhere in between, 50 amma. Rabbi Shimon omer shalem yeshalem amavir et ha'be'ira hakol lefi ha'deleka. So Rabbi Shimon learns from the word ha'be'ira that it's all subjective, that it all goes according to the type of fire that it was. There's big fires, there's small fires, all going to be subjective. At this point, we're thinking no matter what type of fire it is, I don't care how far it is, every type of fire, shalem yishalem. Whereas the first rabbi is telling you a bit khatsi bit kud. Second rabbi is telling you the shut rabim. Another rabbi is telling you 50 amma. Right? He's coming and telling you, you always got to pay. Bishimon omet shalem yishem vita beira kol lefi adeleka. Comes the Gemara and says, "V'deta the Bishimon shiurah v'deleka." Why doesn't know the shiur? Hatenan, lo ya'amid adam tanur betocha bayit. A person should not put an oven in his house. Ela im ken yesh al gabo gova dalet amot. Unless, let's say, from the top of the oven to the ceiling, you have at least 4 amot. Hayam amido ba'aliyah. Let's say you're putting it on the second floor. Ad shiyat tahtav ma'azibat shloshat tefahim. That you have to have at least the ceiling or the floor has to be at least 3 tefahim thick in order again, so they're not going to cause a fire on the person downstairs. Ubikira tefa. If it's a kira, which is less hot, then already it's enough to have a tefa. Ve'im hezik meshaleh mashizik. And if he damaged, then he has to pay what he damaged. Look at Hashi for a second. Hashi says, lo ya'amid b'nei ha'ir me'akimin alav. Shelo tev'id ish. Exactly. The neighbors can tell a guy, we're not going to let you bring an oven into your house, because if you burn your house down, in the olden days, the whole city would burn down. So therefore, there's rules. Ma'azibati, ashen siege, ashen tekla. Okay, you need like it to be plastered. Fine. Ubekira shepe'otah metanur. It's not so hot. Ve'em ma'v'irim betocha esh gadol. So all you need is a tefah separating. In any event, Bishamon omer, lo ne'emlu shi'urin alalu, ela she'im ezik patur me'leshalem. The Bisham Kaldus, this shiurim that we gave on the oven, how much space you need on top, how much space on the bottom, that's only to protect him from paying. That's going to be protect him from paying. But what? Then the Bisham on comes along and is holding that what? That you have to be worried about the distance of your fire. There is a shiur. Which means when the Bishamon comes along and says that Ela im ezik patur meshalem, what does he mean? That if I was careful to put my oven in the right place and it still went out and damaged, I don't have to pay. So you see the Bishamon also has a shi'ud legabe the mazik of ish. So you can't just tell me now Mishnah, the Bishamon says any fire you hayav on. Otherwise, you see clearly in the bright over here that he said that you're going to be patur meshalem. Right? Comes the Gemara and says, "Amar Rav Nachman Amar Rabba Bar Abu Hakol Lefi Gova Hadeleka." We're relearning what the Bishamon said. It all goes according to the size of the fire. Ashish Kisha Esh Gevuha VeGedula Kofitzet LeMelachok. That's what he meant in the Mishnah. Not that there's no shiur. Everything is according to the shiur of the fire. If it's a bigger fire, so therefore, even further. Is going to be a problem. If it's a smaller fire, even closer will be okay. Right. That's what he meant. Not the pshat. When we learned the Mishnah, we thought, Shalem Yisrael be'er, HaKol Lefi HaDeleka. Every fire. No, HaKol Lefi Gova HaDeleka. And therefore, in Echanami, he also agrees to a shiur. He just says it is subjective shiur. Comes and goes, Amar Rabbi Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yudah, Amar Shmuel, Halakha. Kerabi Shimon, Vekhen Amar Rabbi Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Halakha. Kerabi Shimon. Okay, that's the halakha. Goes according to the size of the fire. Comes the next Mishnah, Madlik et Gadish. Okay, what did the guy do? He lit the Gadish. What is that? The stacks of grain. Vayu bo kelim vedalku. Or tamun. There was kelim under the stack. Rabbi Yehuda omer meshaleh mashi betocho. Rabbi Yehuda goes according to Shita. The tamun is hayav be'esh. Just pay for the stack of wheat or the barley. Oh, next case. We saw this Mishnah a few times. Let's say you had a gedi, a goat, that was attached to the stack. And the eved was next to the stack. And what happened? The eved got burnt as well as the gedi. Well, hayav, he's going to be hayav on the gedi and on the gedish, but he's not going to be hayav on the eved because the eved should have ran away. Eved kafut lo gedi samuch lo. But if the eved was attached to the stack, then it's not for more. So then the din is patur. Why is it going to be patur? Because the law of kim lebed rabba mineh. Because he killed the eved. So if it's hayav mita for killing the eved. And therefore the law is he does not have to pay. Nashi. Haya gedi kafut lo hayav. Long Nashi, let's read the Nashi. Ala gedi. Okay, why hayav on the gedi? The ba'ale hayim namu utrabu me'o hakama. Good, we learned already earlier that not only wheat and barley are you hayav on fire, but anything, even balei hayim. Umishum dekim ne bedrabamine leka lemeftere de eno hayav mitah la'eved do'il ve'eno kafut haya lo lebrawah. Since the eved wasn't tied to the field, he should have ran away. Therefore, you cannot blame him. Upatur alav mitah umiteshlamim aval haya eved kafut lo. But if the eved was tied to the field, patur afilu ala gedim ala gadish, patur on all monetary payments. The hayav mitah ala eved dechtiv nakom yin nakim. Which means when you kill an Eved, take revenge. What's the revenge? Hayav mita. They came there, but the Rabbah Amin, and I feel lo et rubo, she'enu neherag. Ah, here's a hadush. You could only get killed if you got a warning. Right? Don't do it. And he said, I'm doing it anyway. Right. Here, nobody warned him. So therefore, is there a kimne bedrabamine in a potential? Here, he's not going to get mita. Because they never warned him when he burnt, made the fire and he killed the Eved. It's a case that if they warned him, there would have been a mita. So the she'ela is there a kimle b'daraba mineh on a potential? So you have Rashi says, ha'kaimalan dechivem mitot shogegim peturin. Which means, yeah, chivem mitot shogegim peturin. Even if you did a hayuv mitah b'shogeg, since it's in the category of hayuv mitah, you're patur from paying. Furthermore, u'begedi lo shanilam ben kafut l'she'en o kafut. But by the gedi, it doesn't matter whether it was tied or not tied, because the gedi doesn't have da'at to run away. So you're going to be hayav on the gedi, whether it's tied or not. So therefore, we only make a chiluk tied, not tied, the gebe the eved. The idea that I cut eved, I cut bigdi. Okay, good. The ikah the amri, and someone is say bigdi name dafka nakat samuch patur dayalo lefrawah. Wow. Someone would say no, gedi is the same chiluk. That only if the gedi was samuch, you can be patur on the gedi because it should have ran away. Okay, like the eved. V'achi kamalaya eved kafut lo o gedi samuch lo. פטור, ופגעתם פשוט בשביל בשביל שני שורו כממונות, אם הניח גאלת עליו בסך היה, ואתה מודעני על גבי שור, תודה היה לשור ליטול, אבל האק היה לו לברוע. Right. There's one deen, if you actually put the fire on the shore itself, you'll be hayav. But here when you put the fire on the field, according to this opinion, the shore, the animal should have run away, and since it didn't, so therefore you can be patur on it. So it's a machloket, if you say, by a gedi, does it have to be attached or not? But everybody agrees. Right. Attached, kimne b'daraba mineh, not attached, patur on the ev, because you should have ran away, and you can be hayav on the mamonot shebo. Good. Umodim hachamim l'Rabbi Yehuda, hachamim that say that you are patur on tamun be'esh, they agree with Rabbi Yehuda, b'madlik et abira. You burnt a migdal, big tower, shum eshalem al kol ma shebetocha. Sheken derek bnei adam laniach bebatim. Because there, it's the normal derek to put stuff in houses. So then you're responsible. When do I say you patur in a field? Where's not the derek to put the kelim in the bottom of the stack? Fine. But in a house, what do you think? People put stuff in the house. That's considered the house. Therefore, you're going to be hayav. That's the shita of Rabbi Yehuda is modeh to batim. Good. Which means the pshat of the saying was like this. Da'ut ha'chamim ha'poter tamun from a gezat ha'katuv, that's only when you lit an ish in your reshut and it went into somebody else's reshut and it burnt items. They can be patur on items that are in the field. Even on things that you normally put in the field. Nagi, let's say a guy puts his rake or his lawnmower and things like that. Doesn't matter. Gezat ha'katuv, when it goes from your field to another field, you're patur on tamun. But madlik b'reshut havero, the case over here is where he lit the guy's house. There's a difference between a fire that started in your domain, and you didn't watch it, and it just went across. Then you're going to be patur on tamun. But when I light the guy's house down, that's not coming from my reshut. That's emanating from the guy's reshut itself, from the nizak. Then already we don't have a gezat ha'katuv. Therefore, the whole fire is considered hayav over there. No gezat ha'katuv on that, and therefore even stuff that's in is going to be hayav. Okay. Good. So that's the din in the Mishnah. So again, so now we're learning a very important restriction. This din of tamun that we learned according to Hachamim that's patur is dafka from one field and then jumps into another field. So patur on tamun. Gives that the katuf. This is hakama, things that are revealed. When a guy goes and burns his friend's house down, right, that's everything you have, even the stuff that's inside. Okay. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rav Kahana. Gemara now going to explain the machloket between the Biudat and the Rabbanan. Amar Rav Kahana machloket b'madlik b'toch shelo ve'alka ve'achla b'toch shel haverod Rabbi Yehuda mechayev v'nizkeh tamun ba'esh v'rabbanan patri. Aval, b'madlik b'toch shel havero, like we just said, v'dibri hakol mishalem al ma shebetocho. No, machlok is when you look from your field and it went and carried off to somebody else's field. Rabbi Yehuda says tamun chayav, Hachamim say tamun patur. But lighting directly into the other guy's field, going to be chayav. Rashi says betoch shel haviro en lo reshut. V'havi kemeabed beyadayim. That's like you did it mamash beyadayim. One case is if I did it in my field and it traveled, okay. But to go and mamash light beyadayim on somebody else's property, then I'm going to be chayav even on tamun. Amale Rava Iyache Adetani Sefa. From the fact that it's said in the Sefa, Modim Hakamim Rabbi Yehuda b'Madlik et Abirah Shemeshnem Komash Shemetokha Sheken Derech Bnei Adam Naniach Bebatim Liflog V'Litni Bedida Bame Devarim Amurim B'Madlik B'Tok Shel Oval Chavakla B'Tok Shel Chavero B'Madlik B'Tok Shel Chavero Et Bnei Akom Shem Kolma Shaya B'Tokho. Which means, why did you have to jump to a case of Bira? Give the same case, say, in Tamun, when you lit in your field and it went to someone else. But if you lit directly in the other guy's field, you're going to be Hayab. What did you have to jump to a Bira case and say, no reason? Because it's the derech for people to put stuff in the house. You didn't need to jump to Bira. You could have gave the same Hidush in the case we're talking about. You're going to be patur on Tamun when I lit it in my field and I went to somebody else's field and burned Tamun. But if I lit it directly in my friend's field, I'll be Hayab. What did you have to jump to the case of Bira? That's the question that they're asking over here on this, on Afghana. Understand? Afghana came along and gave me Hiluk. Good. So the Mishnah should give me that Hiluk. Always, whenever you can keep the case contained to a certain scenario that we're talking about, we'd rather than you jump to a case that we never talked about. We're talking about the Afghas, the Havero. And it went into somebody else's field, then you're Patur. Oh, so just say, but if you actually let the other guys feel directly, then you'd be Hayab. Who needs Bira? So, Ela Marava Betarte Pelige. So he says like this, they're really arguing the Biudah and Abana on two cases. Pelige. Bimadik betok shlo valka beakla betok shel haverod Biudah mechayev atamun be'esh v'lebana tzavar lo mechayev uflik name bimadik betok shel havero. The Biudah tzavar mechalem kol mash betoko v'afilu arneki. ורבנן סברי כדין שדרכן להתמין בגדיש כגון מוריגין וכי בקרוד משלם. כדין שדרכן להתמין בגדיש לא משלם. So there's two מחלוקות. מחלוקת number one is when you light from your own field and it goes into somebody else's field, then Hakamim say you're going to be patur on all tamun. And the Buddha says you're going to be hayav on all tamun. That's מחלוקת number one. מחלוקת number two is when you actually light directly on your friend's field. The Biudah says you're going to be hayav on tamun, even on stuff that's not normally under the field. For example, a wallet. The Biudah said, no, I agree, in that case you're going to be hayav on tamun, only on things that are normally hidden in a field. Kegon, he says, morigin, that's the thresher, the klibakar, that's the items that the animal uses, and the things like that. So therefore, that's the way we're learning the machloket. Look at Rashi, please. Betarte peligi. Second to the last Rashi, third to the last Rashi. Betarte peligi. Peligi b'madik b'toch shelo. Upatri rabbanan afilu kelim shel rekam l'atmin begadish. Daha gezerat katuv v'hu detamun ba'esh patur. When I'm lighting it in my field and it travels to the next field, I don't care what's in the other guy's field. Even things that are darkan, Hakamim are going to say patur. V'rebi Yehuda mechayev atamun u'bekelim lo shena otam shen darkan l'atmin v'shta otam shen darkan. V'rebi Yehuda mechayev atamun all kelim. That's one machloket. Machloket number two, when I actually light in the field itself, the Biuda says, Yehayav even on a wallet. And the Chayim say, no, in that case, since you went directly into the guy's field, you're going to be Hayav on things that are derech. Very good. Exactly. That's the opinion of the Chachamim. Good. Venimsa, meaning the Sevarana. Shebe'emet, gamma madik meshel havero patur la tamun. Even the Yehuda Achamim will say, even if you live in your friend's field, you'll be patur la tamun. Ulam yesh chiluk bedin ben madik meshel havero la madik meshel atzma. Shemadik meshel atzma patur al kol tamun. Even on items that are derech to patur. That's against the Ketur. If you're madik meshel havero, you patur rak on things that are not the derech to put over there. What's the logic of the chiluk? So he says to Safot, because you go on the logic, which means when I'm lighting on my own field, it's a gezerat ha-katuv. Torah says kama, only things that are revealed. When I'm lighting in my own field, then it goes travels. So it's a gezerat ha-katuv, don't make a hailuk. But once already I'm lighting in my friends where I don't have the gezerat ha-katuv, now I can start using logic. I'm only going to be hayav ha-kamim, things I could have anticipated that are going to be there. But on a wallet, that I know the guy's wallet is going to be placed in the field, once already you let me work with Sevara, I can make a haluk between Derek and not Derek. But if you learn it's a Gezerat HaKatuv, lo pelum. So therefore, according to the Achamim, in a field, what I'm lighting in my field, the travel, Gezerat HaKatuv. Your patura tamun. Lo shena wallet, lo shena klibaka. When I light in the field, so I don't have a Gezerat HaKatuv. But now I go with logic. Logic will tell me only things I can anticipate. But things I can anticipate in the Achamim will be patur. And that's what it says later on. When I light in somebody's house, when mamash, I'm lighting in the house, where you have no Gezerat HaKatuv at all, and you have to assume that there's going to be things that are in the house, whether it's normal things that are in the house, or the nav, doesn't matter. Everything in the house, according to Achamim, are going to be, there's three cases, according to Achamim. There's lighting in the field, your field, lighting in my friend's field, and then lighting the guy's house. And all the three dinim are different. Lighting in my field, I'm patur on every tamun. Lighting in my friend's field, I'm patur on things that shouldn't have been there, not normal. And lighting in the house, I have on everything. Tanu Rabanan. We have a braita. Amadlik et agadish vayubo kelim vedalku. I lit the stack. And there were kelim in the stack, and they burnt. Rabbi Yehuda omer mishlam kol ma shehaya betocho. Rabbi Yehuda says you have to pay for everything, even the tamun. V'chamim omrim eno mishalem ela gadish el chetim o gadish to seorim. You pay for wheat or barley v'ruin mekon kelim ki ilu humale tebu'ah. Oh, you look at the place where the kelim were, you hollow it out, and you make believe there was barley over there, and you pay for barley. Or you hollow it out and you make believe it was wheat, and you pay for the space, ki'ilu it was wheat. Bamede varim amunim, bamedik betok shelo valka vedalka betok shel haver. I told you about where you lit in your own field, and it went across to the neighbor's. Bamedik betok shel havero. But if you went into your friend's field directly, mishalem kol ma shaya betokho. Oh, so we have to explain that this is talking about davka things that are normally in the field, like we just learned to quote Rava. That when you light in your friend's field, you're not going to be chayav in his wallet to quote Hakamim. Davka things. Well, one of the things, for example, is morigin. I didn't explain to you what morigin means. That she says in the bottom, kirashim nekubim. You have planks of wood that have holes in them. Uben yitidot v'dashim b'metetivwa. Oh, those are threshing items, I told you. Threshing items. And things like that. Good, so it makes sense. Umode Rabbi Yehuda l'achamim. And Rabbi Yehuda agrees to the hachamim. B'mash'il makom l'chavero l'agdish gadish. Oh. I give you permission. In my place. Come, you can put your stack over here. V'gdish v'etmin. Oh. And what happened? He made the stack and he put some stuff in there. And then what? The owner of the field did not watch where his fire went. She'en mishalem ela demeg gadish bilvad. The logic in that is because I did not give you permission for that. Which means I told you you could bring the gadish in there. Good. Now you start putting your wallet in there, you put your stuff in there. Now I was a poshaya, I didn't watch my fire. Okay, but I'm what I told you you could put in. But I didn't accept responsibility for you to store your stuff in there. So even Rabbi Yehuda will say patur when I gave you permission to put the gadish into my property. That she says, "Ela deme gadish im v'iro ba'ala sade delo kibel alei ela tinutad gadish." Right? He only accepted upon himself shemira for the gadish
proper, nothing more. Now let's just go with the logic. Why would the rabbi say I have to pay for the hollow out spot as if it was wheat? Because if there was wheat over there, I would have to pay for the wheat. So why? So what's my logic? Why are you making me pay? No, generally speaking, which is I have to hollow out the kilim. I don't have to pay for the kilim, but my general responsibility is for the wheat that was there.
Because you thought the wheat was there.
Right. Oh, because I thought the wheat was there. So my intention is the damage.
Right, and you were responsible. No. You technically insured the guy.
No, leave the insurance guy. Regular case. Nah. Not that case. I'm going back now. In the regular case where I lit the fire from my field, and it went into the other guy's field, and it burnt his stack.
Oh,
am I chayav on kilim? No. But I look at the hollow space where the kilim were, as if it was wheat, and I got to pay that as well. Okay, so that's what it's saying. Because bottom line says I'm chayav on the wheat. So I'm not going to be patul legamre. Good, mate. You thought it was all wheat. So therefore, you have to pay for the... So that's an interesting point. It's not your patul legamre on tamun. You have to convert it to what the stack was, and you have to pay at least for that.